That's the theme music, apparently, Armin tells me, for the segment we're now calling What's Up with the Environment with our environmental reporter, Ashley Ahern, who's joining us now. If you've got suggestions for better theme music, you can call us right now, or email us, I should say.
No, Conversation. I'm not coming into anything other
than
Led Zeppelin.
The Dire song, I think that's what it is. All right, thanks so much for making the time. There it is. Thanks, Bernard. Ashley, thanks for making the time. I want to start and get right to the Duwamish and the EPA's proposed cleanup plan for this. It's a Superfund site, and I understand it's the last chance for the public to comment. When does the comment period end?
June 13th, so this week. Get your thoughts, comments in on Seattle's very own Superfund site cleanup. It's been years and years in the works getting this plan together, and EPA has come forward with a proposed plan. Massive, $305 million is the estimate for the cost. The responsible parties are going to be starting the cleanup possibly in 2016, and the public has a chance to weigh in. So for people who haven't been following this as closely as maybe I have every day, 800,000 cubic yards of sediment, contaminated sediment, are going to be coming out of this river. 6% of the contaminated area is going to be capped. The environmental justice community groups want more of that to be actually taken out, the polluted stuff to be dredged out, not just covered over and capped. And they want more upland monitoring of the ongoing pollution that's going into this industrial urban waterway. So,
and what can the public expect once this cleanup is completed? I mean, what's the goal here?
The goal is a river for all, I think, a clean river where people can be playing along the banks, recreating, and as well as fishing and eating the fish that they're catching. And that is a sticking point for the environmental groups and community groups right now, is that the EPA and other scientists are trying to get a handle on just how much fish people are eating out of this river and how clean the river needs to be to make that safe. And right now it looks like that's going to be a tough task
to get there. But is that one of the EPA's goals with this cleanup?
It's pretty much been stated that the river is not going to be clean enough to eat unlimited amounts of seafood out of it, but the environmental groups and community groups as well as the tribes say, well, unlimited, fine, but we still eat a whole heck of a lot more fish potentially than the average Seattleite even eats, and we need to be guaranteed that that's not going to be a danger to us who live on this river.
We're talking to KUW's Ashley Ahern about this EPA Superfund site on the Duwamish River and the cleanup. The period for public comment is ending. You said June 13th. That's why we're talking about it right now. So you still have a chance to comment if you want to. There's also going to be a lot of green jobs created by this, supposedly.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
Yeah, one of the stories I'm working on this week and for next week is a jobs training initiative that the EPA is overseeing. It's a $125,000 program that really trains community members, people who live in Georgetown, South Park, who want to work on the cleanup. And what it does is it kind of opens a pretty exciting new career path for people maybe who have a background in HVAC or carpentry or not, people who just live in the community and want to be trained in hazardous materials cleanup, even if it's, you know, flag waving and doing, you know, sanitation stuff on the site, that sort of thing. So I went down to South Park Community College the other day and met the first class, 14 people who are being trained right now in HazWhopper, it's called, hazardous material, working with hazardous materials. And these are people from South Park, from Georgetown. I want to introduce you, play a little bit of the tape I'm going to be using in the story. Let's start with Greg Welch. Greg Welch is a carpenter from the area. He has 5 kids. He's currently unemployed and really saw this as an opportunity for a job he says is much needed. These jobs are much needed in the community.
Needed?
No way.
Really needed. And I think this is a good thing to supply jobs for the community. I mean, people got families to take care of, you know, and that's most important, you know. You know, I'm not young anymore, so. If I was young, it'd be a little different thing. But right now, just work and just live, you know, pay my bills and live.
And I think I should say right here, I asked Greg, are you environmentally minded? Do you come into this as an environmentalist? And he said, no, he needs work, you know. And the coordinator, the guy who's overseeing the story, gave me this great piece of tape that I'm going to use in the future, but I'll tell you about it now. He said, you know, these people aren't petting dolphins and rubbing crystals. These are people who need work. And
Although you could get paid for that.
But that being said, I think that part of this training program is people get it. You know, people that live in this community understand that they live in a polluted area, and this is a chance to be part of the solution to that problem. So I also spoke with a man named Roberto Hernandez, who has lived in South Park for 14 years. He has two daughters, and he feels really strongly that this is a community issue, but it's, you know, he's getting the environmental message in there as well.
I mean, I'm very concerned about our future generation, you know. We, as a human beings, we have to I don't know how to say, you know, at least we try to put some remedies or fix whatever we did wrong before. I mean, never going to be exactly our mother nature did, but at least we're going to try to do something better.
We're talking to KUW environmental reporter Ashley Ahern about this Duwamish cleanup. And last question on that, how many jobs are going to be created?
So this is 14 people they're training now. Overall, we don't have a sense of how many. There are going to be several different contractors that work on the actual cleanup when that gets underway. Millions of dollars of contracts are going to go into this cleanup, and I don't know how many jobs total. But this 14 is a start, and the EPA has said they will do more. They would like to do more. So the plan was to do 30 this year. Maybe there will be more next year, depending on funding, that sort of thing. But I think they're pretty pleased. They've told me they're very pleased with the results so far. The people working in the project, the people that are getting the training are really excited. So,
and Ashley, you've also been diligently covering the question of coal exports and these coal export terminals. This is about moving coal through Washington State by train, most of it bound for China and other ports overseas. What's the status? What's the latest on that?
Well, the most recent development was we had one of the proposed terminals on the Columbia River drop out. That was a barge, train to barge to ship operation. That one's gone. So now we have the two big ones are still on the table, as well as one other one on the Columbia. And the big one, Gateway Pacific Terminal, they're in the pre-scoping process, meaning they've taken in the public comments on what should be considered in the environmental review, and they should be releasing that report soon. And then the Millennium Bulk Terminal on near Longview is also in the pre-scoping. They're going to be having public comment meetings, which we will, of course, at EarthFix and KUOW be letting everybody know when those comment opportunities take place. But they're also going to be doing the same process, trying to figure out, okay, what are the questions? What do people want to know about the potential risks, the potential benefits of exporting coal through the region that we should be exploring when we do this environmental review? The elephant in the room, however, is everyone is waiting for the Army Corps of Engineers to come out publicly and say whether or not they are going to look at the impacts of exporting coal across the entire rail line from mine to terminal to ship, or whether or not they're going to just do their permit for the immediate area surrounding the coal export terminals themselves. This is a huge question that a lot of people are watching very closely and waiting for the Army Corps, who frankly has been pretty silent on it. So I will be calling them pretty much every week until I get an answer.
KUW's Ashley Ahern is telling us about these controversial coal export proposals. And you're also looking at the climate question, and do we have clear numbers on the overall impact of exporting this coal on global warming?
Yeah, so I crunched a little bit of numbers earlier this week. An interesting report, very important report, came out from the International Energy Agency, which showed that global emissions of CO2 from energy rose 1.4% in 2012. So that's 31.6 gigatons of CO2 were emitted. This coal, if we exported 100 million tons, which would be the maximum capacity for the two big ones that are being proposed in Washington, that's a little bit less than 1% of that figure. That's per year, though. So that means going forward, we're contributing 1%, 1%, 1% to global emissions. And the other interesting component in this report is that if we continue on this track with this global rise of 1.4% in 2012, we are on target to be increasing the global temperature 5.3 degrees Celsius. And for folks who follow the climate change science closely, scientists are worried that with 2 degrees Celsius in warming, we are in for big trouble. 5.3 is a different ballpark. One scientist said it would be a disaster for all countries if we get that high.
So that's if the overall net CO2 in the atmosphere increases by X amount. That's the forecast for how much the temperatures will increase?
If we continue on this trajectory of 1.4% each year, that would be the target. Yeah,
and you're also, last question, you're also working on a story about chuckling frogs. I don't know what a chuckling frog is.
I'm hesitant to tell you too much about this. I've got a couple of fun stories coming up because when the weather gets nice, I mean, it's raining now, but when the weather gets nice, I get out to do a lot more fun field reporting with scientists. So I'm going out with some scientists who are studying. I'm really curious about alpine lakes and climate change. So as the climate warms, what does that mean for wetlands at high elevations and very fragile amphibian species, that sort of thing. And so I'm going out with one scientist I'm very excited about later this summer who studies a type of frog that makes a chuckling noise. And I will be able to record this frog and bring these sounds to our beloved listeners. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also going out with scientists on this week to learn about an invasive crayfish, or crawdad as they call them in other parts of the country, that is showing up in western Washington lakes, and scientists are trying to remove them. So I'll be catching some crawdads, and I'll come back with some recipes for everyone.
Your job is depressing and fun.
It's a weird thing, right? Total roller coaster. But I'm psyched. Just keep playing the Led Zeppelin. I'll come in.
Ashley Ahern is KUOW's environmental reporter. From KUOW, 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.